Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with...
Jason Shear.
And as promised, we are here to preview Arizona men's basketball first round game with Long Beach State. They will play on Thursday, and we are recording...
11 a.m. TBS.
Yes, and we are recording this podcast before Jason leaves for Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, Utah.
It is the bastion of culture and arts and just so many fun things to do. Jason's very excited about being in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City. Just kidding.
I think that's New
Everything
York City.
Closes at like 10.
I'm pretty sure that's a salsa commercial for New York City.
It is. That's that paste picante sauce from like the 90s, like New York City. Which is a lot more fun.
Well, they say that Salt Lake is the New York of Utah.
That's what they say. Interesting. Yeah. I've never heard that. Well, you know.
You don't get out enough.
That's okay. The most important thing that's going on in Salt Lake City is obviously Arizona's game and all the other rounds that are happening in Salt Lake City that weekend. We're very excited. You're going to be gone.
Leaving
on a jet plane. You gonna sing the song?
No. I'll get back.
You're doing the dramatic version?
Dude, listen. I love national anthems. I forgot to tell you this.
Uh-huh.
And she was a good singer.
Where?
Don't get me wrong. Hold on.
Okay.
She didn't have a bad voice. But like you and I have the same anthem pet peeve. The woman that did the Oregon, Arizona anthem.
Oh, no.
Was like 7.5 minutes long. Because I can.
I feel like as a singer, let me definitively tell people this. What? I was a singer. I am a singer. I sing the national anthem still upon request on occasion for, you know, some sporting events every once in a while. And the number one thing that bothers me about other people singing it is it's not there to showcase you necessarily. It's you're there to do a job. And it should be at a very same tempo. And, you know, and it shouldn't be lingering and people shouldn't be able to, like, make a bet how long you're singing it. So, yes, we do have an issue with that.
My girl Reba sings it in, like, 2 minutes, doesn't she?
Reba McEntire did a fantastic job at the Super Bowl this year.
I love
her. The people that really draw it out.
This is what it was. I swear to God.
It's so annoying. It should be, oh, say, can you see?
It's awesome.
It should be, like, at a pace.
People wanting to know why the game started late. That's literally why. She took like 15
She took minutes. Forever. She yeah. took forever. Anyway. Well, we don't have to worry about that because Arizona
America.
Will be playing the first game on Thursday, as Jason mentioned, at 11 local time. Let's just jump right in.
And you said.
What is the difference between Long Beach State and, we kind of hinted it at the podcast last night. Princeton, because that's all we have been hearing about. Princeton, Princeton, Princeton.
Yeah, so I want to be very clear here. You all need to stop it.
Look,
Princeton was a 13-point underdog, I think, at the time of tip. They were considerably better than Long Beach State. And look, again, I'm not guaranteeing anything, blah, 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 blah. But let's just compare the two, right?
Apples to apples.
Arizona in KenPom last year was 11th at the time of the game, I believe. They're sixth. This year, a Princeton, right? Let me open up my Ken Peasy. Princeton was 91st at KenPom. Long Beach State is 163rd. Princeton was defensively, in terms of defensive rebounds, they were 7th in the entire country. Let me repeat that. They were the 7th best defensive rebounding team in the entire country. They were 97th on offense and 105 in defense. Long Beach State is literally 2 times worse than Princeton defensively. They are 210 in KenPom. They are 145 on offense. Princeton slowed the game to a grinding halt. They were 187th in tempo. Long Beach State will never slow the game. They are 29th in tempo. On offense, Shelby, they are 13th in the country. They want to shoot quick. Princeton, on offense, Shelby, was 249th in the country. They wanted to slow it down. Princeton shot 52% from the field, which was good for 83rd in the country. Long Beach State shoots 48% from the field, which is good for 255th in the country. The one thing, literally one, that Long Beach State did better than Princeton, well, maybe two. Long Beach State is a better offensive rebounding team than Princeton. Not by too much. They go to the line more than Princeton. They go to the line quite a bit, actually. They're 53rd in the nation. They were worse. Long Beach State is worse from 3, from 2, from the free throw line. They don't steal as much. They turn the ball over literally double the amount of times. They do not shoot. Princeton, 87th in the country in 3-point attempts. Just 3-point attempts to field goal attempts. Long Beach State, 347th. Okay?
Big difference.
Average height, Long Beach State, 173rd. Princeton was bigger. Okay? Princeton was better. Other examples, Princeton had Tosun, who's in the NBA. They had Keyshawn Kelmon, who's on Florida Gulf Coast now and really legitimately good. They had Zavian Lee coming off the bench, who was their best player this season. They had Ryan Langborg, Shelby, who is at Northwestern this past year and is a very good player at Northwestern. They had other dudes that literally were top Power 5 players. Long Beach State does not have a guy that is a very clear transfer candidate. They have a couple guys, which we'll get to, that are actually have gone backwards in that regard, where they were Power 5 players, Power 4, whatever you want to call it, and has kind of moved backwards. This is not Princeton. Princeton was an underseeded 15 seed. They should have been a 14 seed.
With NBA players.
Right. Long Beach State, had things not played out, there's a legit chance Long Beach State would have been a 16 seed. Like, I might regret the hell out of this podcast, but this is not Princeton. It's just not. In any way, stylistically, any way, shape, or form. And while we're at it, why are we comparing Princeton and that team, right? Courtney Ramey, not here. Kerr Creasa, not here. Cedric Henderson, not here. Julius Dubelis, not here. Right? So, like, what are we... Jaden Bradley... wasn't on that team, okay? Caleb Love wasn't on that team. Crevis wasn't on that team. KJ Lewis wasn't on that team. Keyshawn Johnson wasn't on that team. Like, it's like when people bring up 97 when comparing and be like, No, that's not how sports work. It just doesn't work this way. And to Tommy Lloyd's credit, he said that they've talked about it, but they're not embarrassed by it, because why would they be embarrassed by it? It's a completely different team. Can you imagine sitting Caleb Love down and being like, look, man, we lost to Princeton. Caleb Love would be like, I don't give a shit that you lost to Princeton. I wasn't even on the team.
Yep.
It's just, there's just no mindset. They're like, this isn't Princeton.
Right. Well, this is this typical Arizona angst, anxiety. I mean, it is, I guess, illogical, irrational in a lot of ways. As far as like the letdown, disappointment, getting booted out of the first round of the tournament by an inferior team on paper. However, just if this is not clear to everyone, Princeton was last year, number one. And number two, Long Beach State, as we will detail as we go through this podcast, is not as talented as Princeton was last year, which Princeton is not the same as they were last year because they don't have those NBA players anymore.
Princeton actually, on paper, would have probably been better this year in a way, but they lost Tosin and Langbord. Like, if they had him this year, if they had Langbord even, they had a better record. They got, if you want any similarities, it's that Princeton went through a rough patch and then got hot in their conference tournament, right? Similar to Long Beach State. But stylistically, talent-wise and all that, there's a difference. And there's also a difference with Arizona and all that.
Right. So we're hopefully easing some of those anxieties. And before we go to the next question, we kind of skipped over what we usually do.
I love the NCAA tournament. I'm on one today.
We have to pay the bills, as Michael Luke likes to say. So we're going to shout out our sponsor here. Investing should be easy. Buy low and sell high. But what seems simple can get tricky in a complex field. It's too easy to encounter pitfalls in the investment space, but seeking professional advice can help you reach your goals. At Longview Insurance and Investments, we're your local professionals based right here in Tucson. Let us help you create a personalized investment portfolio that reflects your unique risk tolerance, time horizon, and goals. Visit our website at www.longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn mas.
And before we start, so I don't forget, as we mentioned a little bit ago, we have signed a sponsorship or partnership with the Autograph app. It's an app for your phone co-founded by Tom Brady. My mom is even on it. Basically, any of our free content, any of AZ Desert Swarm's free content, any of Michael Luke's free content will go automatically to this app, including podcasts, written, and all that. It is very, very cool. Simply just go to the app, the Autograph app. You can download it on your phone. Enter the code AZCAT, capital A-Z, lowercase C-A-T. And also, it's just cool. It's a really good app, especially if you're at work during the tournament or whatever. You can get all our content directly to your phone. There's contests. They're giving out. They're going to have cheap tickets for basketball upcoming. It's a really legit app. I wouldn't BS you guys. So
it's also and legit as far as just user-friendly. So just I'm using it.
Like if my mom can daily, use it, I mean.
I showed Jason's parents. I got them both on it while we were sitting at the Arizona watch party for Selection Sunday. And she's always had trouble just, you know, finding the podcasts where podcasts can be found. It sometimes can be a little tricky. So she can just pull it up. Boom. Wildcat Scoop is when it's new. It's like the first thing in your feed because the AZ Cat referral code will set it to Arizona Wildcats as your main team. So yay. Use Autograph app. And thank you very much. All right. Moving back to Long Beach State conversations. Is it normal for fans to be acting the way they are this week? And like,
it's
normal.
It's strange, and I'm not dissing anyone.
Is it Arizona fans?
It's part of why I love Arizona fans. The whole vibe is very weird to me, and I think it's because everyone's jaded to Princeton. Even though I said you probably shouldn't be, and again, there's a possibility I look real stupid on Thursday afternoon, right? If Arizona loses this game, I don't think they will, but that's beyond the point. It's like, oh, shucks, let's see how Arizona's going to screw it up. Oh,
yep.
Darn.
How is Arizona going to F this up?
And you're kind of in the same boat, too.
I mean, I have to turn it down because I'm married to you. And I have to put on like the Logic hat.
You probably wake up and go, holy shit, I am so thankful.
There are fans that I see interact with you that I know that they wish they woke up with you. But I am lucky.
Female, male, both, doesn't matter.
Everyone loves Jason
Schultz. Here's my phone number, guys. 520-87
No. I don't know what I was going to say. But yeah, I'm in a little boat. It's just like, I'm willing to step back and listen to the logic of this is a different team. They're highly motivated. They are not playing Princeton. And as we go through this, Long Beach State is clearly a different team. But I think Arizona fans are so used to being disappointed and having their hearts ripped out. I mean, someone was sharing, I think it was Justin, who shared the video of Arizona losing to Illinois, which is like one of the worst losses, just like as far as like heartaches go. And we were together when that happened. We barely started dating. But
we were talking in Vegas. Sorry, just because you brought that up. I think it was me, Mike, and Kyle Dodd. Mm-hmm. We're talking, and he was like, what's the one loss? Like, we were just talking about upsets. No, it was Brian Jeffries. It was Brian Jeffries.
Oh, and you were having dinner with Brian?
And he was like, oh, what's the one loss? And we were talking about Santa Clara, and it was like Santa Clara was annoying. But the one loss that I will never, that just gnaws at me to this day is Illinois.
Yeah.
That's just the one. Like, East Tennessee State wound up having NBA guys, Santa Clara. Had, you know, that one was crappy, but that Illinois, the way it played out. Okay, we're not talking about that.
Anyway, and I think the other thing, just talking about this fan thing, and I mean, you're not in this boat because you are not a native.
That's what my boy says.
And you were not here when it happened, but the win in 97, like having your team win the national championship, like people, like ASU fans don't know what this feels like. So like the highest of high, and Arizona is always chasing that high. And Arizona fans are hoping and getting so close.
But are you even, if Arizona wins, are you even going to enjoy it on Thursday? Or is it just going to be like, well, we're just going to lose next game?
I'm not like that. I definitely am thinking we're going to win the weekend. And that's where my mind space is. But you do reserve in the back of your mind, like, this is such an unpredictable team that it definitely is a possibility. So, you know, that's how it goes. Arizona fans are.
I will say that too. Like, Arizona, it is a roller coaster of a season. So, if that's the reason why you don't know what to expect, I get it. But again, Oregon is in Princeton. Oregon State was on the road. This isn't on the road. This is a neutral court. It's not a weird shit happens in Corvallis, right? USC, I know they lost to Long Beach State, but if you go back and you watch that game and you look at the lineup they started, Andy Enfield had no idea. What, like, he started Harrison Hornery at the four. And something else, like multiple players that wound up starting came off the bench. It was stupid. But I get it. It's weird to me. But
okay, LA boy.
What?
Who were you rooting for in 97, by the way? Do you remember?
Duke.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't believe you admitted it.
My cousin went, no, not. In 97, I was 14.
Right.
My cousin Jared, who I actually liked at the time, I don't think we've talked since, went to Duke.
So it was situationally for Duke.
In 2001 when they played Duke, you can ask my parents, they had to leave the house because they thought the cops were going to come arrest me because I was rooting for Arizona. So I think I broke multiple things. They literally left the house for a while.
Wow. Well, you missed the boat 4 years later because 97 was awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, you're lucky that I love you because you were not voted. You were rooting for Duke in 97.
They didn't play Duke in 97.
And you're a Yankees fan.
But they didn't play Duke in 97.
I know, but all Arizona fans hate Duke, Jason. It's just
the
way
it goes.
Yeah, but
I didn't know. I was rooting, like, I didn't like UCLA growing up.
Well, okay, that's a good pass.
Or
USC,
like
that just redeemed you.
Like, never did anything for me.
And your brother-in-law went to USC, so we've always kind of been like, okay, USC.
Never did anything for me. My brother-in-law is texting me about Cal State San Marcos women's basketball.
Oh, wow.
This is what we talk about lately. They're actually in, their national championship regionals are batshit crazy. There's literally so the way they do it is it's regionals and it's whatever, and it's third round, like, 3-1 seeds lost today.
Whoa, that is crazy.
So it's like a shit show, but my girls from San Marcos advanced to the Elite Eight. They're in the Elite Eight in Missouri.
And just so people get a little context, Jason's sister is a professor at San Marcos College. So
San Marcos?
Josh has to kind of root for all of the San Marcos sports. So it's a little bit random, but it's kind of cool. Anyway, we've gone to question number three. What type of team is Long Beach State, Jason?
I kind of answered that in the first one when I compared it to Princeton, but I'll run through it. Long Beach Sizzle is 163.
So much drama.
And KenPom, they're a weird team, right? So earlier in the year, they lost to Portland. They beat DePaul. I understand DePaul's D1 and people get excited. DePaul's dog shit. San Diego State, they only lost by 12, but they also allowed San Diego State to score 88 points, which is wild. They beat Michigan, but as we know, Michigan also not very good. And I think Michigan, I don't want to say that they had a weird, I think they were missing a player. I don't remember, but lost to Illinois State, lost to Louisiana. Then they run off and they beat teams such as Life Pacific and Cal State Dominguez Hills. They beat Montana State, which is a tournament team. They beat USC in overtime at USC. Now, like I mentioned, and I'm sure that's what people will point to, their starting lineup had Harrison Hornery. Joshua Morgan only played 19 minutes. DJ Rodman, I think he got hurt. I don't remember, but he only played 14 minutes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
It was a weird situation. Boogie Ellis, or USC that game, actually shot 58, I'm looking it up, shot 58% from two. The problem is, and this is perfect Andy Enfield, Shelby, they shot 58% from two, right? Mm-hmm. They shot 33 shots from two. So you're like, man, how do you lose that game? They shot 31 threes and made seven. If they only shot twos, they would have won that game. And also, I will say this about Long Beach State. They are good at getting to the line. Long Beach State, Shelby, shot 40 free throws that game. It was a weird, stupid game. So then from USC, they go, then they lose to Northridge, have a couple wins, have a couple losses. Then they go win, loss, win, loss. Then they get hot. They score five wins in a row, right? San Diego, Cal Poly, UC Davis, Northridge, Bakersfield. The highest ranked team of that bunch is Bakersfield, which was 154 in KenPom. No, sorry, which was 240. No, UC Davis, 174. And KenPom, 174. Then they start to lose. They lose to Hawaii. They lose to Fullerton. They lose to Irvine. They lose to Santa Barbara. They lose to Davis. So they start to lose. They don't look very good. They just don't look good. Now, I believe they also had, I don't know if they had an injury. I think they were missing one guy from that game. I don't remember who, but nothing crazy. Then they get hot in the tournament after this. So they fire Dan Munson, and then they're like, hey, Dan, you want to coach or you want to give it to an interim? He goes, no, let me finish it up. So they go to the conference tournament. They beat Riverside, Irvine, and Davis. The only good team of that bunch is Irvine. That is a legitimately decent win. Irvine was 73rd in KenPom. Again, another team that actually shot better than Long Beach State from two. They shot 53%. Difference in that game was Long Beach State shot 25 free throws and made 22 of them. Irvine was 10 of 20 from the line. So Irvine was 10 of 20, 50% from the line, and lost by four. Had they shot 70% from the line, they would have won that game. But overall, you know, they are fast. Like I said, 29th in tempo. They get up shots quick. Doesn't even matter if it's good shots. They want to shoot right away. They are 13th in the nation in average possession length. Effective field goal percentage is 48.9. They allow the opposition to shoot 51%, which is 217th in the country. They turn the ball over quite a bit, but they also force turnovers at an actual decent rate. They're 86th in the country at forcing turnovers. They're 185th in how they turn it over. Offensive rebounds, they're legitimately good. They crash the glass quite a bit. They're 53rd in the country. They do not defensive rebound. They're 213th. They get to the line a lot, 53rd in the country, but they also foul quite a bit. Three-point percentage, they shoot 31% from three. They allow the opposition to shoot 35%. They shoot 49% from the field. They are a very good shot-blocking team. They're not that big, but they're athletic and long at some positions, not all positions. They're sixth in the country at block percentage, and they don't get a lot of their shots blocked. They're not good at steals. They turn the ball over quite a bit. Three-point attempts to field goal attempts, Shelby, they're 347th in the nation. They also allow teams to basically shoot the three. They're 345th in allowing three-pointers. 350th in the country in three-point percentage, 21 in the country, so an opposition. Not bad there. Two-pointers, though, in terms of point distribution, basically teams carve them up from two. They're 342nd in the nation. Teams don't shoot threes because they're able to get twos so easily. They are not that big, 173rd. They're older, and they don't have a bench. They have, like, one guy off the bench. At point guard, they have Marcus Shonis. If that name sounds familiar to Arizona fans, it should be. He started off at Washington for 2 years, didn't do a whole lot. Then went to VCU, didn't do a whole lot, and is having success at Long Beach State. When you take a look at him overall, you take a look at just his numbers, he can score in bunches. He is your leading scorer by far, 18 points a game, but he shoots 47% from the field. He doesn't do a lot else, and he shoots 30% from three. He's going, in my opinion, to put up at least 20 shots on Thursday. The second guy, who I think is one of the better players on the team, is Jaden Jones. Averages 12 points. He's at the two guard. They'll play AJ George at the three. 6'6", 190. They'll play Abukar Traore at the four. He's actually not big. He's 6'5", 195. He is very long. He averages 8 rebounds a game. And then at center, they don't stretch the court at the four. They'll play Amari Stroud a little bit, but he will not. He's big at 6'10". He might play a little bit more because he's 6'10 and because of that height, but he's not a three-point shooter. I think he's 5 of 14 on the entire year. Their center, in my opinion, is actually pretty good. Lucina Traore, 12 points, 10 rebounds, shoots 53% from the field, 6'10", 230. But there's some times where they'll go super small. There's some times where they'll play two bigs in the post. They'll kind of mix it up a little bit. They play 75% man, 25% zone. Mm. If you're wondering, I assume they're going to zone Arizona, but I'm not sure it matters because they're just not a very good defensive team. On their bench, they have a guy named Issa Silva, people remember from Stanford. He has done nothing this year for Long Beach State. Clear missed eval by them. Their best player off the bench is a guy by the name of Messiah Thompson, who's a 5'8 point guard, averages 6 points a game, shoots 36%. But other than that, they actually him and Stroud, they go seven deep. And Messiah Thompson will play 18 minutes a game. Not a big score at all. It's kind of to give another guy rest. They don't have that dangerous guy off the bench like a KJ Lewis or Jaden Bradley or something like that.
Mm. So far I'm hearing a lot of not like Princeton in there. Just throwing it out there. All right. Well, as usual, Jason, what matchup intrigues you the most?
Well, I mean, there's a couple.
Really?
You know, I'm actually, I'm curious how Arizona guards Sochonis. You know, do they put Boswell on him? Do they put Love on him? Does KJ Lewis play a little bit more than normal? Does Jaden Bradley? And the thing with him is, you know, we've seen matchups where like ASU, for instance, where they'll put Pella. And on a,
I was wondering about that.
So I'm actually curious because Long Beach State's three-man AJ George, well, solid, he's 6'6", so it wouldn't be crazy to have a Boswell or a Caleb Love guard one of those guys. So I'm actually, that to me is, Tohonis is really curious. Abakar Traore, I like him. He's long and athletic. But Keyshawn Johnson's kind of made for guys like him, but I'm curious there. But the clear one is, you know, Tohonis and how does Arizona guard him. Traore and Balo should be interesting as well overall. You know, when you look at him, he's big, 6'10", 230. You know, I watched it the other day, pretty solid, but you take a look at him overall, you can get him into some foul trouble. He's fouled out of two, three, like four games, I think, this season, four or five. He fouled out against San Diego State in 20 minutes. You can get him in foul trouble, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get him out of the game pretty quickly with Umar.
Okay. How does Arizona win this game, and what would be the recipe for a possible unlikely upset?
So for Arizona, it's do what you do season, right? Like, they're better than Long Beach State. Now, Long Beach State draws quite a bit of fouls. So Arizona needs to make sure that they're not in foul trouble where you see Pella on the bench 5 minutes into the game or Umar on, you know what I mean?
Yep, keep it tight.
You need to keep it disciplined. Rebounding, you're better. Turnovers, they have a ability. They're going to run up and down the court. Arizona's going to run up and down the court. So don't run up and down the court and turn the ball over 22 times. Right. If Arizona keeps the turnover range into like 10 or 12, it means they probably won by 25 points. Like, I sincerely mean that. If they're starting, like USC did the thing where even though USC's not built for it, they ran up and down the court. They turned the ball over 19 times. They shot 58% in that game. And normally you'd be like, oh, they kicked the shit out of them. Well, no, because they got caught in Long Beach State's game. And before you know it, they were shooting 31 threes and turned the ball over 19 times.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's going to be a frenetic game. Don't get caught up in what Long Beach State wants you to do. If Arizona takes care of the ball and doesn't get in crazy foul trouble, you know, I think they'll be fine. Long Beach State is not a good three-point shooting team. This goes back to what I say. Don't make a team bad at something, good at something. If they're not good at three-point shooting and all of a sudden they're going to shoot threes now, they don't shoot a lot of threes. But maybe they say, look, it's not there. We're just going to chuck threes. Like Long Beach State, basically two guys shoot and the rest score off rebounds or whatever it may be. Okay, that's just how Sonis is going to take 20 shots, guaranteed. Don't let him make 15 of them. You know, he's had games, Shelby, where, you know, you look at his, I'm going to pull it up so I have it actual facts. But like with him, you know, it's all about efficiency. So like this season, for instance, against San Diego, he had 25, he was 8 of 21. You could probably live with that. If you're Arizona, Santa Barbara, he had 25, but he's 9 of 23. You don't care if he's 9 of 23, right? But then you have games where against USC, he was 7 of 14 for 28 points, and he shot 13 free throws. That would be bad news for Arizona. Against Montana State, he was 11 of 17. Against Michigan, he dropped 35 points and was 12 of 19. You could even settle it like San Diego State, where he's 7 of 17 with, you know, four turnovers. That's fine. It's the game where, like, if he goes 12 of 17, which he's capable of doing, that gets crazy. Like last year, Shell, he had a point, a game in triple overtime where he had 46 points.
Dang.
But he took 40 shots to get it.
Oh.
Right? So he's 15 of 38. You're like, okay, whatever. So, like, he is going to shoot. And I mean, last year they lost to USC and he had 17 shots. Like, he's going to put up 20 shots any game. So in that situation, it's a matter of making sure that, hey, if you're going to put up 20 shots, cool, but we're going to try to get you to be 7 of 20, 8 of 20, just not efficient. If you're going to score 20 points on 20 shots, we can live with that. We're not going to hold you from not shooting the ball, but we can absolutely make sure that the shots that you shoot are crap.
Okay. Good defensive effort is what I'm hearing. And what is your prediction for this game, sir?
For the reasons I laid out, I think that if you took a look at the two seeds, Arizona plays Long Beach State's game just significantly better than it. And Long Beach State is not a good team. It's just not. Like, Arizona should be able to do what we just talked about and beat Long Beach State. It would be a legitimately, like, one of the worst losses in tournament. It'd be, to me, it's the equivalent of a 1-16, right?
Right.
And I know that can happen. Fairleigh Dickinson was a 20...
Not unheard of.
20-point underdog to Purdue. The difference was that Fairleigh Dickinson was athletic at every position and Purdue was the opposite. That's not the case here. Like, Arizona can match athleticism. It's, you know, it's not, you know, even if you take a look last year, and I'm bringing it up here just because, and you take a look at Fairleigh Dickinson last year, Shelby, they were 106 in defense going into that game. So even then, like, they were 106 in defense. They didn't turn the ball over. They were better than Long Beach State as well. Like, they, you know, they had... They were small. They were super athletic. And so they basically played a 6'6", 219 center, and they ran circles and got hot and all that, right? And, like, their three-pointers, they shot more threes, and they were just a considerably different team. Not a great defensive team, but a good offensive team, a good enough offensive team. But, you know, in the game that they had beat Purdue by, you know, Purdue was just bad. Like, it was just one of the situations where, you know, in that game, Purdue, similar to, like, teams losing, and I know I'm comparing it to Fairleigh Dickinson, but, you know, I'm looking, like, Purdue shot 52%, but they got caught in Fairleigh Dickinson's game and was 5 of 26 from 3, right? And then they turned the ball over. Like, Arizona, Purdue got caught playing in a game it's not comfortable playing with. Earlier this year, USC got caught playing in a game it's not comfortable playing with. Arizona's comfortable playing at a higher pace. I think the spread is 20. To me, that's a lot in a tournament game, even though I think during the regular season, Arizona would beat Long Beach State by 20. Let's go 90 to 73, Arizona.
Okay. I agree that the spread does seem kind of wide, but I feel like this game has the potential. I think you even said it on the PHX podcast with Mike, that you wouldn't be surprised if this got close to 100. Just, you know, the way that the offense is going to be playing at up-tempo, running up and down the court. Arizona's better conditioned. I always think Arizona's the most, you know, conditioned team on the court, no matter what.
And sorry, let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
Something I didn't say. Long Beach State is not built for foul trouble. Nope. If Arizona gets their big in foul trouble, they're screwed, right? And that's part of the reason why they don't defend very well. Is because, like, they'll stop defending. If the big man gets three fouls, he'll stop defending or he'll foul out. Arizona's bench players would start for Long Beach State. Long Beach State's bench players are not good. Like, they're not. There's even by that level, they don't have a bench.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I was agreeing. I was thinking 90s too. I was going to say 95. But then, like, I'm thinking, I don't even know if they're going to score up into the 70s either. But I'll keep it in the 20s. I'll say 95 to 75 just to kind of keep it there. But I would not be surprised if this got to 100 if Arizona gets up early and, you know, at some point resting the bench and putting in, you know.
I think KenPom has it at 94.
Putting your boy.
I think KenPom is 94 to 74.
I don't think we're out of the realm of possibility here. This definitely needs to be a statement win. It needs to be a massacre. Arizona needs to come out and really make a statement. They have the highest spread for, you know, the first day of the tournament, I think, or they did as of last time we looked, and they're a number two seed. I mean, we definitely have been watching ESPN and all the projections. Arizona is projected by a lot of people to make it to the Final Four.
Handle your business.
Handle your business early on. But there's a lot of people saying North Carolina are going to get bounced in the second round.
So the over-under is 161. So they're literally telling you also that Arizona's going to score like 90 to 95 points.
Yeah. So I don't really care what Long Beach State's score is going to be, other than it's going to kind of show the tail of the tape for the defensive effort Arizona's going to put out. But I do think the offense is going to be firing on all cylinders. I think it's going to be a good game to ease Caleb and Kylan back into hopefully good scoring rhythm. We really need Pella to be showing up and playing for his full focus. He's my little Swedish fish. And obviously Umar at the glass and slamming baskets would be great. And then, you know, everything else is going to be gravy, how Kashad performs and KJ. And hopefully the problem when you have a game like this too is not expending all your effort on Thursday. At some point, you got to be able to pull the horses back in a little bit. So I think overall it's going to be awesome. But the other thing that's awesome about Thursday is that it is going to be the opening of the Madness. It is one of my favorite days of the year for, you know, just enjoying sports. So we're going to give the people some of your games maybe to look at.
Just some games. Obviously, in Thursday only, I said this yesterday or whatever it was, I think that Nevada-Dayton game is going to be one of the best games of the first round. A clash of styles a bit. Really good game. Oregon-South Carolina, I actually like the Ducks in that one. If you're looking for upset potential, I'm actually happy that it's going to be in Salt Lake. I think that Gonzaga, McNeese State with Will Wade is going to be a very cool game to watch. You know, Texas Tech, I have them winning. Sanford, Kansas is another one. But I think Drake beats Washington State as well. I like Drake a lot. I always look if you have NBA players and all that. But to me, I'm excited. I think Arizona's got one of the coolest regionals in terms of close, the first games at least. Drake, Nevada, I think, is going to be a very legitimate game and something I'm excited to see, Shelby.
Excited. We're excited. Obviously, after this podcast, the next one you hear, we're going to be in different cities. And sometimes, you know, depending on when the games happen, I work during the day, get home, take care of kids at night. So all of our recordings will be, like, later.
Well, and I think I'm going to also do something where I might like film something on my cell phone and show it on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
But we'll have a full podcast.
Just do a little shorts and all that, but we'll still have our podcast and, you know.
And Brielle and I will do our girls basketball podcast.
That is a big one. Ballin' with Bree will return a women's basketball preview with Ballin' with Bree and Jason will happen. So we have a lot of content. Make sure you find us on the Autograph app or on the WildcatAuthority.com boards. You can follow Jason at Jason Shear, and I can follow me at Ms. Shelby K. And our buddy Erica Lede is also on Twitter for the women's basketball
side. And also, we're running a 50% off sale annual sub. If you're a monthly member of Wildcat Authority, you can upgrade. I believe Tuesday is the last day for that.
Sweet. We got you covered, all things Arizona basketball and the tournament.
Because, Shelby.
Because.
No matter.
No matter where you are. Whether you're in Tucson or Salt Lake City, no matter what you do, you can always bear down.
Do you think I have to go incognito in Utah because Utah fans don't like me very much?
I think you might need glasses and a hat for sure.
There's a large part of me that really wants to get on that plane wearing an Arizona shirt. I'll let you guys know, but it might happen.
I think that you should. I think you have been neutral for a long time. You can wear the colors every once in a while. Do it.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.